what is it, because I mean, everybody has seen the horrors of the suburbia and all the rest. Everybody knows that we should. And of course, like you say, you've got some interesting problems when you talk about land use. Remember, we went off on this kick that we wanted to revitalize rural America and get more industry and so forth. And now all over, not all over, but throughout rural America, there is a counteraction in which you say, no, we don't want to come in here and destroy our good rural society. But in California, people in Santa Rosa don't want any factories. Do they? Not any factories, no, just like that.
That's right.
Not in the Valley of the Moon, at least.
One thing I think is a stop in sort of script development is turning off, say, all California.
And then, you know, it's like Colorado turning off the Olympic Games. Now, why do they turn it off? Well, frankly, people out there just want all those tourists and all that commercialism and the rest. They just want those ski slopes for themselves. Maybe they're right. I think it was wrong because I think Squaw Valley did an awful lot in California, although it was a boondock.
I think the last Olympics probably had a lot to do with this attitude, too. You know,
individuals going to do something about his environment. Now, many of our
there should be, but environmental education should not be simply a doomsday. And I would use, let me see, if you can, I would use what? Use the fact that we were wrong about population. You know, for example, we predicted this, and take it right out of the message, and admit we were wrong. And so right now, that means that we all thought we were going to, you know, there's nothing new either. You've read Malthus. They're always wrong. But the point is, they they seldom tell you anything you can't get out of the goddamn papers.
And really, it is disgusting. And this guy's Schlesinger, he's tough, ruthless, mean, and he's better played China, but he'll have a better intelligence as a result.
It's really kind of fascinating. In the 4 years, there have only been two or three times when the entire intelligence apparatus has come up with anything that was worth coming in and saying we've intercepted or found out or uncovered or something that something significant is going to develop.
That's right.
Let's try it right. Would you have Holly come in and take a picture so we can have the vice president?
I'll try to make this very quick because I'm under pressure to see something. Give all these messages due and all these people clamoring and all of that.
Well, you finally got to the point where you just turned everything off and said, don't send anything to do. And then a couple of things you had to do, so it was a chance to appreciate the work that happens. Just trying to get some time. Into the picture is the fact that the I'm sure you're aware that the oil company, the international something else to look at a time when the Middle East is getting rather touchy, and that might be something you'd want to consider.
You mean now?
Before the inauguration, on a very working basis, not any kind of state fluff connected with it.
I would say this, I can see a time. The problem with the diversity. look at this as a public record. Now let me come to the other thing, though. I know that everybody takes a lot of heat on this, but what really matters is how it comes out.
Right.
Now you know very well that as far as the boxing and Arthur is concerned, continuing and true at a higher level, a policy that we had suspended as long as they were talking seriously. They stopped all this in the talks totally. For 10 days, Kissinger sat there and they filibustered. And at that time, they were building up in the north. You saw those infiltration networks, they were bigger than ever. So under the circumstances, we said, well, we bomb again. Why did they come back to the table? You know why they came back? Because they were bombed. But my point is, we can't tell everybody that. We tell the Congress that we bomb them because they were stonewalling us. And so they go, oh, we meant, so you get it back to the table. And the answer is yes. If you tell the Congress that, then the congressman falls there, he's jackass, and also go out and say it to the press. And then what happens, unfortunately, is it gets right up to Hanoi. And then you'll get one hell of a stonewall because they cannot be in a position of being bombed back to the table. But I can tell you that's why they came.
They were hurting.
It's tough, grinding work. I've stated the way I did the leaders. I would not be optimistic or pessimistic. I just assume that I wouldn't be keeping Kissinger there unless there were serious discussions. There are serious discussions underway. No use to go into what they're saying and all that sort of thing. It's irrelevant. I didn't want to show it to me. They're pounding away at the critical issues, which is a ceasefire that will be enforceable. And if we have a ceasefire a week later, because it isn't, we don't have a proper supervisory thing, they must have. We're going to look at that as hell. We're going to be tough. That's really it. That's what the DNC language is for. The DNC language has nothing to do with sovereignty. It has to do with enforcing the ceasefire. Take the PO definition. It isn't something we can say a whole lot about, but the real thing is that they've imposed a condition on that. They say that they first said that as soon as we sign an agreement, we get the POWs back in 60 days. But now they say, provided that the civilians being held by the South Vietnamese government are released. You can't agree to that. You can't release 60,000 people like that. You see, because as far as POWs, military prisoners must be exchanged for military prisoners. Those are just typical of the issues. And you see, these are the things that we're trying to hammer out. Because we cannot make a deal just for the sake of making a deal and looking good on inauguration day. On the other hand, let me tell you, we wouldn't be sitting here today talking about enemies being there unless we had bombed. That's why we did that. It worked. And the main thing is how it comes out. Huh?
I'm sorry we didn't take the Van Dykes
Well, as a matter of fact, if anything, you get practically as much like you killed. They make a big thing out of 1,200 civilians were killed.
And 1,200
civilians. My God, how many have they killed in the South in their infancy? They destroyed Anwak. They destroyed Quang Tri. They did that. They killed 50,000 civilians. You saw that.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Deliberate destruction, not a goddamn word.
Well, can we eliminate that number?
Well, my number is maybe high. That is supposed to get there.
25.
There is 25 in the public.
Well, does that have something? Can we assess
25? Absolutely.
Pretty much so.
Yeah, absolutely. 25. The president's figure is probably closer to the right figure. 25 is absolutely sustainable.
Nobody can undercut. That brings me to the other thing.
And a number of, did they get that sheet out and give it away to his office? We probably haven't. The number of hospitals. able to say that. But if the time comes, somebody will say it.
The way I want to say it is, to just draw the public's attention to the fact that what has happened to our national flag when our own president is not believed and an enemy's enemy power statements are accepted. What's happening to our society when the man who's designated to lead the people in our own country is regarded with suspicion and distrust? They quote you, they say that the president alleged, but when they quote Hanoi, they say they could have repeated like it's fact.
And especially when time after time, the president in the afterlife has been proven to be right.
That's true. But I think we could put together something that's not abrasive in the sense that it's a lash out, but then it just calls on the people, well, let's think this thing through. We're Americans. What the hell are we doing believing people?
That's good.
Who have a history of aggression.
Yeah, and also, I get that.
Duplicity and everything else.
But I think the other thing, I think, too, is that it's really to say, here's the Congress, you can find out the difference in the 68 campaign. When I didn't say a darn word about the negotiations, and I knew nothing was going on. I knew it. And because I didn't mind her, any chance there was. And I've always thought,
this morning, what the hell was he?
He's on the board.
He's got a big thing.
seriously, shouldn't there be some primary opposition?
Yes, they should.
Has anybody over there got the stuff to, could you get that Spezak or whatever his name is to change his registration and run?
He could handle it, Mr. President. All right, I'd find somebody.
Got anybody else?
Roger Morton.
Mark, who will he do it?
He wants it, but I think he could probably encourage it.
Will you do it?
Very encouraging.
I got
he's not even killed by it.
I'm sorry. Well, he should be wiped out. But I will say nothing about it, but let me say that that's your problem, right?
Not working.
That's your state.
Not working. Because he has been.
Well, then he can get the decision. We'll make it this level, but you hear from Bob.
Yeah, that's not an item.
Well, what I meant is, if you hear from a staffer.
I'll check it with you.
Yeah, well, even if you hear from Pat Buchanan, well, no, Pat Buchanan would never say it without clarity. But what I meant is, Bob will just get it in one word, say it's fine.
From my direction, I'd rather.
That's right.
On the other way, so there's.
On the other way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it was a mock-up meeting, so this PR advisory group together, they said, what are we gonna do?
Well, it's like a assignment for the brain of Bob, which came in, so you don't want to go to China. But the item is actually not these ducking signs.
He's so unrealistic, he does, but.
This is such a stupid, unbelievably stupid thing. For him, it's a loser. Christ. And also the diversionary thing. You think anybody's gonna believe that that's what diverted to Vietnam?
Here it is.
That was a goddamn joke.
Well, you have to do it as a crisis thing because of the.
Now this is a reflection of the staff.
Oh yeah, reflection of staff. Yeah, but it's also on his own judgment. He should. His staff. He's responsible ultimately for deciding what his staff says.
He must sit down and talk to these yokels and they come up with an idea. Well, I'll go talk to the president now.
But they probably pushed him. They probably kept hammering away and finally said, Ted, you got to go over and talk to the president. You got to see if you can't get a.
You know what you ought to do? I really don't think like this. You ought to talk to you about it. I mean, that's what I would have done. The old days, either with Adams or
talk to Henry or Al Hay.
They're not here. But I mean, on a PR thing of this sort, where Henry's gone. Of course, you can imagine Henry would think of his legacy as a god. Of course, I must say that Roger should have stepped up to it and told him it was a damn fool thing. Obviously, he hadn't. Maybe, no, in fairness, maybe he didn't mention it to Roger.
You mean now, Ed? I have a feeling maybe he didn't, because Rogers, I think, would have shot it down. Because the last thing Rogers wants the vice president getting in there, that Rogers looks at that as his territory.
What was the cause when he finally knew?
I don't know. We have a report on what the Democratic Conference was about. Do we? What was that caucus about? A caucus resolution? Specific action on that time. So they're just sitting there stewing on it in their frustrations, huh? Because it just broke up, that has to do with the cabinet testifying before committees of Congress demanding that they respect cabinet members, demanding cabinet members respect congressional requests to testify. What it's directed at is Rogers' refusal to go to foreign relations at the moment. See, that's the one that's frosting them, and particularly Half-Right the most, is he's, you know, he's not going to consider any, as you know, any, he says he's going to consider any nominations till he gets his Rogers thing. The other one that they're going into this afternoon apparently is on impoundment. They're trying to figure out how to deal with the impoundment problem. And apparently Tunney has some kind of proposed resolution that they're coming up with on that, and they don't know any more about it than that. He'll get a read pretty soon. Coral Ogus was up there, and he said he was listening at a back door for a while, to hear a little bit, you know, it was just kind of a lot of shouting and mumbling, and there was, that one speech was being given on impeachment at the time he was listening at the doors. Well, that's what it is, that they're being cranked up. The media's cranking them up, and they're being good. They're coming out badly on all of it. The cartoons, which is probably the most effective thing. Yeah, I do.
Wishful thing.
No, we were talking about it this morning. I think they
are. They may see only the cartoons and satellites.
No, I'm talking about the ones in the Washington Post, and you know, scattered all across the board. It's the feeble old Congress. Trying to figure out what to do. And I think they have a problem, and they don't know how to deal with it. And they're getting more and more like a cornered tiger, and it may not be good that it is a problem. And,
well, we have a problem, just right. And God damn, I'm sure we're doing exactly the right thing not to tell him anything, no harm.
Yep.
Don't you agree?
Yep. Except for him, he'll never quite get it. He tries. He's you know, he's just not really. I don't know. The other thing would be to give some thought to, and try to give some thought to constructive management of the guy.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a vacuum there. Maybe by filling it, we can gain something.
It was harder. Putting harder in.
Oh no.
I mean, it's got to be a matter of him and his office, and
sense of his public relations, I mean, of the use of his, you know, he's a guy, he can be heard if he says the right things. He'll be heard, and but he can take on the Vietnam.
Wow, you come on this whole Vancouver show. Yes, and they're backwards. Just like he did after the third. But the fight is, he can't do it now.
He's got to sit tight now.
Look, I thought it all through, you know, I thought it through long ago about before we ever broke off the negotiations on Henry. When Henry came back, and then we went to the December 18th decision. I don't know what we're going to go through, and it was going to be tough. And also, I was not as sanguine as Henry was at the moment we announced that we're stopping the bombing negotiations to redo. That they let off, I figured, what the hell, sure, they're going to continue to be asked to do the deposition. On the other hand, we had, if you look back every step of the way, no other damn choice. There's nothing that we could have said that would not have harmed the negotiations, not one goddamn thing. And that there were raids in the staff, and you've got to point that out. Well, what would you do?
It isn't raised. Nobody's questioning. There is
really?
No question.
Well, some of our people raise it, I guess, outside of their, you know, old friends and so forth and so on, and say, what the hell, why did you do this? Why don't you explain? And they only go on and explain. Christ, I could go on and explain. To tell them the truth, you ruin the negotiation.
It's sure no internal push for that.
They'll say in that case, too, you just got to realize if it comes out right. Doesn't come out right, we still got a pretty good case. That's where you're going to rip the hell out. You know what I mean? If they're going
to answer the other way.
If we're going to have, division on this thing, we're going to pour it to them.
Oh, Henry called and said he finished the meeting, that everything's on track, that he's sending a cable again in a couple hours, that he went ahead with the proposal, and he said we got 100% concurrence on substance and 80% overall. I don't know exactly what that means. He said, I don't want to get into it on the phone again, you know, but he said, yeah, I've covered all the cable, and I'm sending a, you know, proposal on how it goes step by step. He said, it's what you wanted to accomplish. And they've agreed. And he was quite pleased with that, because he said, you know, what I was lobbying in yesterday was a proposal,
yeah,
on a very tentative basis.
Sorry, yeah, I hope that what you guys agreed to is not, Henry and his. Sorry. This is Henry's way of this. Having so that he goes over and initials that document, I mean, an announcement, later, the following day,
what he's talking about now, and I think, because he's never indicated otherwise, I think what he's saying is he's going over for finalizing it, and you can set, if we can get an agreement on it, we agree that it's done at